Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
Let's have a discussion.
Bullsh! Yes!
That escalated quickly.
He seems to have a pathological shamelessness.
It's black wrong.
Let me say it this way.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, I'm 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and I will tell you, during the break, I was looking for the iconic final scene of the original Planet of the Apes, where Charlton Heston realizes he's been on Earth all along.
The Statue of Liberty, right?
Because they finally did it. They're bringing out 25 grizzlies are going to eat us. Returning to the Washington's North Cascade, so I guess all those citizen public meetings and all that for naught. And what's our friend's name? Our good Congress friend?
Mr. Newhouse.
Can we pop a bird in his ear about maybe coming on tomorrow?
I'll get right on that.
But, and I'll have Charlton Heston by tomorrow. Among the jagged peaks of the North Cascades, lush alpine meadows rich with berries and wildflowers, blanket valleys carved by glaciers, some threaded with trickling creeks. But these idyllic landscapes are missing one big thing that had helped sustain them over millennia. Grizzly bears. Not fake dogs painted as pandas, but actual grizzly bears. These idyllic landscapes are missing. And so anyway, federal officials did decide last month to reintroduce grizzlies here. So that'll happen. But they help the environment.
Maniacs! You blew it up! damn you!
Damn you all to hell. So, but you're afraid to let it run, aren't you?
Well, he says GD right after that. We can't stand for
does
that.
Does he?
Yeah, FCC. We'll get all over us. Radio Hall of Fame would turn their truck around.
They fly the Gulfstream back and just throw the mini SD card out on East Lake. So anyway, it's a done deal on that one. But they poop and they till the soil and stuff. And the problem is, they like many of the creatures of the wild, they're opportunists. And I mean, ask any garbage can. You know, how many times have you been molested by a bear? If they don't have to work for a meal, they will eat that meal. If it's your garbage...
Perfection belonged to the bears.
Doesn't care. There's an entire... What's that city? Churchill, Manitoba, where polar bears are so common that people go there for bear tourism. And that's the one thing about the grizzly bear. It has no dignity. If it doesn't care about the food, Indian food, whatever, and I want to see what happens to Indian food when it goes through a bear. That would be a really bad scene.
There is no such thing as a secret world of the bears.
The bears.
And this blank stare speaks only of a half-bored interest in food.
So, but they have such expressive faces, though. It would be a pleasure to be eaten by one, but, they will, you know, your newborn calf or sheep or whatever. They disperse seeds. They till the soil, by golly. And they're great fertilizers. And that stuff, if you ever run across, I mean, even black bears. There's a lot of it. And when it's fresh, it's a really bad scene.
Well, now I officially have a legit reason why I don't want to go hiking. I don't want to be a bear's lunch.
Yeah.
My new excuse
and wind up
lazy.
In their fertilizer. Grizzlies are great fertilizers in Alaska's streams. Teeming with salmon, provide an example. Bears devour the fish, bringing their carcasses deep into the forests. Salmon carcasses add marine nitrogen to the soil. Trees along bears' salmon streams grow larger and faster, pulling more carbon from the atmosphere. Oh, you had to. Really? Really on that? But how much carbon will it take? Will they offset the carbon that it took to drive them in a diesel truck to eastern Montana? They use their long claws and powerful shoulder muscles to dig for tasty glacier lily bulbs, mice, or ground squirrels. In the process, they turn over old turf, aerate the soil, and improve nitrogen content. New plants have a chance to sprout in the disturbed soil. And take carbon from the atmosphere, if you believe that theory. But anyway, all the benefits are right there. The big downside where they eat you Or they decide that a kindergarten is actually a bunch of delicious meat flavored ho hos. There's that. But I mean, the main thing is predation and loss of livestock. And like, if there's no program to offset that or to remunerate you for your lost beef cattle or wool sheep or anything like that. But I mean, and that's the thing. When you're a bear, a cow, a beef cattle is a Costco. And it's just right there in a delicious furry wrapper and the whole thing. But I mean, so it's a monetary loss in the future. And the day that the grizzly eats it, it's not ready for market. It's not fattened up. But so anyway, and I would go ahead and trust people that would like to say something like, I don't want to be dealing with bears on my hike. I mean, grizzly bears. And now, I'm not sure if it's, I think they're sort of in the gray area, but the largest land mammal on Earth that stalks human beings is the polar bear. And I'm not sure if the grizzly bears have that annoying behavior out of them or not. I mean, I don't see why. Same reason polar bears do it is why a grizzly does it, because you are not a threat. And you look delicious and the whole thing.
Stop bears.
Stop bears.
So anyway, strong pull on that one. So big test coming on later today, 4:30 our time. The perfected, theoretically perfected Boeing Starlink or Star thingy. After years of delays, is finally flying. The Starliner spacecraft, designed to fly astronauts to orbit under a $4.2 billion contract from NASA, had suffered a series of problems that put its launch with astronauts years behind the schedule. And by the way, amongst test pilots, there is a baseball-like belief in bad luck and all that. And when a program has delays that don't seem to be related to anything about the aircraft, it's deemed jinxed. And so anyway, I mean, there's not a test pilot for this, but the Starliner had suffered a series of problems that put its launch with astronauts years behind schedule. Its onboard computer had failed during the first flight test. Second flight test was scrubbed after valves in the vehicle service module stuck and wouldn't operate. Then after the craft finally flew a test mission successfully without anyone on board, Boeing discovered that tape used as insulation on wiring inside the capsule was flammable and would need to be removed. So all this stuff builds up into the Grissom complex, the Gus Grissom complex. There he was on the pad several days before his Apollo 1 flight test of just put a human being in this capsule, make it go around the Earth, and then come back the way it would when it comes back from the moon. But he never got off the ground because there was an anomaly that created a spark. And the deal about the Apollo capsule is it was purged of everything, and it was a pure oxygen environment. And so there was Gus Grissom just sitting there with his helmet off, on top of whatever was going to be Apollo 1, and he got burnt. He got burnt up.
Yeah, there's an audio recording of that. That's some of the most haunting things I've ever heard.
And I'm a space geek, and I'd never want to listen to that.
They only have like the first 5 seconds, but they go, there's a fire in here, and then you hear a brief scream, and then it cuts out.
And I mean, bad way to go, yeah. And Gus Grissom was an original Mercury astronaut, one of the original seven. And he was very tight with the other test pilots, and he had trained astronauts. And so, and he was also legendary for really being one of the best stick and rudder guys that Edwards Air Force Base had ever seen. And so the deal was, he was expressing caution about that leading up to that, but he didn't know why. He was just saying, look, the thing is broke. You know, don't launch this. And he was saying it to the NASA engineers that could do something about it, and they didn't do anything about it. And so that was their frustration, was Gus was talking about this before it ever happened. He predicted it would happen before it happened. It happened, and he was telling you guys about that. And so anyway, But this is way different because NASA didn't have a branch making commercial aircraft, and so will local stations cover this at 4:30 today? It's right in their window, and it's from Cape Canaveral at 7:30. So a spectacular Boeing launch, or I hate to be cynical about this, but I mean, as you know, but if it's carried, wouldn't you say it's out of a macabre fascination, almost?
With the anticipation that something could go wrong. Yeah, I'm sure for some people that might
drive. It would be great for Boeing to have a big win. But, you know, after reading the coverage of, they had not the Washington Post. Washington Post was actually relatively straightforward about it, except, that's right. So this is the lead paragraph is this, quote, before a door-sized panel, again, this is about a spacecraft designed to put people in orbit and replenish the International Space Station. Before a door-sized panel blew out of a Boeing 737 MAX, leaving a gaping hole in the side of an Alaska Airlines aircraft shortly after takeoff over Portland, before whistleblowers came forward to say they were threatened for bringing up safety issues at the company, and before the Justice Department opened a criminal investigation into the blowout incident, Boeing was struggling with another set of issues on another high-profile vehicle. So, in other words, not related any way, shape, or form, except in name, to the space project. And so, for that alone, I'm saying that if you're local, you're taking this. If you're Channel 4, Channel 5, 7, or 13, you're taking this live at around approximately 4:30 our time, because it's in your news window anyway. So anyway, it's you know, one of the most valuable brand names in heavy manufacturing around the world, and here's a chance to maybe put some more polish back on it or something. Maybe, you know what, I would at the last minute I would announce a replacement crew. It says two human astronauts. I'd replace it with grizzly bears, and then Settled Times will be pulling for it to succeed at that point. But there's that. So the VP stakes were on over the weekend, and I'll play you some of this. Winners and losers, I got to say, overall, Doug Burgum, the former governor of South Dakota, self-made gazillionaire guy. That's why he was running for president, and no one knew him, and he was spending money on getting, you know, volunteers and all that, but he was not spending any money for viral campaigns on the web. I found out about that he was running almost by accident and all that. Trump likes him. He can communicate with the guy. The guy has money. He can speak money. And Trump likes him. So he did himself a favor and a non-favor. First of all, the Jake Tapper thing. So defending Trump and the 2020 campaign, that will get you a look.
Based on comments you've made in the past, that must concern you.
Well, I think the bigger context here, Jake, is really about elections in America. I mean, you go back in my lifetime, when 1960, it came down to one county. We talk about an election like it's one thing in our country, but elections are still run at the state, the county, and the precinct level. And in Cook County, it was very close between Kennedy and Nixon, and Nixon conceded. In 2000,
them's are facts.
And, you know, they've made movies about it, and that election was contested for 2 months in the courts afterwards. And it was, came down to Broward County and some hanging chads. In 2016, this network and many others challenged the results of the 26, falsely claiming that there was Russian interference.
We never challenged the results of the election.
That's the thing. He's calling out CNN for parroting Hillary's line that the election was stolen, it was Russian interference, and the whole thing. And yes, CNN was as guilty as anyone else.
They plenty of stories supporting that.
I'm talking about the violent interaction.
Hillary didn't. Is what Vice Presidential Candidate Brian would be saying. And I would be raising my voice to Jake Tapper.
Self have decried.
Yes, well, you know, I'm looking forward to next January when Vice President Harris certifies the election for Donald Trump. I mean, the American people are the ones that get to decide these elections. But for both parties and for all Americans, we've got to make sure that every county.
So that's where I'd say that that's the part that Trump heard. And the guy is you know, proving his chops that you can. You can trust the guy to go on TV and the whole thing, or can you? So they go back to the campaign when Trump was when he was still in it. By the way, when he was still viable, and what's his name? Chuck Todd from Meet the Press asked him about Trump back then. And keep in mind, this is during the primary. This is months ago when everybody is in your sights, including Trump.
Would you ever do business with Donald Trump?
I don't think so.
Why?
I just think that it's important that you're judged by the company you keep, and I...
You just wouldn't do business with him?
No, I wouldn't.
So they trotted that out yesterday. I don't know if Trump heard that in 5 months ago, but he probably heard it yesterday. So, and again, this is not a secret that you have to appeal to the guy's ego. And some say you have to be a fairly attractive female governor of South Dakota, like Kristi Noem, except that now she's decided to leak from her book that is released tomorrow that she kills puppies and goats. And the other deal that was the reveal yesterday was that in her voice version of the book, apparently in the book, she claims to have met Kim Jong-un. When she was in the House, she was on the House Armed Services Committee or something, traveled to bases around the world. Did she ever meet Kim Jong-un? There is zero proof of that.
And the quote is, "I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I'd been a children's pastor after all."
And
nice comparison.
The problem is she has they're thinking that she's confusing the president of South Korea with Kim Jong-un, because then it would
honest
be the
mistake.
Well, yeah. So why would she make that mistake? He is short. He is Korean. But they don't all have nuclear weapons or look alike.
And I had put months and months of training into this dog. This dog had gone to other trainers as well. So all of that is the facts of the story. And all of that shows that when you put someone in a position where they have to make a decision and they want to...
That is a spin. Okay. Who amongst us has not shot a puppy in the head? And I'm going to say, 14 months old, the dog is still learning. And that's on you. But puppy, yeah, I'm sure it was a cute dog. But all dogs with pheasants in their mouths are cute.
Protect their family and protect children and other people from getting attacked from an animal that has attacked others.
I think that's a very rurally, you know, blue collar, you know, thing. Is that, you know, if you have a rabbit, if you have Old Yeller, you've got to, you know, get the boy the shotgun and get him out there and take Old Yeller out.
And here's today's episode of Irony. So Kristi Noem went back into her book and revised some questionable materials. You know what the name of the book is?
What?
No Going Back.
No.
Literally. Ouch. The irony, Brian.
Well, anyway, say what you will about Kristi Noem, but she knows how to treat a goat.
That's the choice I made over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that I didn't,
you heard me,
and ask somebody else to take that responsibility for me, that I had to make that decision myself.
Because you put
Excuse
it in
me?
A part of a chapter called Bad Day to Be a Goat. And then after you shot the dog, you, quote, realized another
choice I made over 20 years.
And it's because in the chapter about Cricket the dog that she whacked, she says, well, there was another problem coming up, and it was that the goat was not socializing with the kids. And if you've ever been around billy goats, you better wear shin guards, if it's your first time, because to be playful, they will do the thing where they rear up on their back feet and they go head first into your thigh or your crotch or whatever. And it's not pleasant. And that's why all of a sudden you training the dog to not nip at the goat, that's not so much of a priority anymore. Because that's ultimately the final arrow in the quiver. That's the border collie nip doesn't ruin it for cows, but I tell you what, they will learn. A goat will learn a lesson. A goat will learn who's in charge, or if you just shoot it. And so anyway, I would say if you're in front of a group of Americans who've deployed in the last 20 years to the third world, you should lead with "I kill goats," because I'm gonna be writing a check at that point.
You talk multiple times about it. In fact, at the end of the book, you say the very first thing you would do if you got to the White House that was different from Joe Biden is you'd make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket.
Because Cricket's in heaven. So now I'm going to kill you, Commander. And so anyway, did that point earn her points with Trump, who was watching all of his VP candidates yesterday? Well, I thought Kristi Noem was oddly lit. I don't mean like in a cool way. Like she's lit. I mean like selfie blog video live stream lit. Anyway. Well, we'll be back in a second with a check of your texting. And here, how's this for a tease? Wait till you hear what Ilhan Omar, the Somali-born U.S. congressperson, said about the National Guard and Kent State and what they should do now and stuff like that with stuff and junk happening as we speak. That and more coming up. Check in with your texting, 800-465-8770. You text, we read, and right after this, AM 770 KTTH.
Song is in honor of you almost going to the opera.
Well, then you should have almost played it. The familiar overture to the Barber of Seville there has not heard by me.
The Bugs Bunny version.
What's that?
It's the Bugs Bunny
version. Oh, this is the one with I killed the wab. Oh, wait, not...
He's trying to get the Weskely wabbit.
Yeah, that's right. But... And that's like, for most people, your first introduction to opera comes at the hands of Warner Brothers and Mel Blanc singing. But so anyway, yeah, I don't have a folksy anecdote about it because we didn't go. I'll tell you this, Seattle Opera does a really easy ticket exchange policy. We just got to find a date in the future. We're going with like next weekend or something.
Cool story, Hansel.
Speaking of date, Tim Scott didn't do himself he did himself nothing but favors because you're going to be seeing this on NBC if you don't watch. I don't blame you. But it's because they're not saying he evaded answering. It's because this is their lead question every time. It's about 2020. What do you wear on the morning of January 7th or whatever? Or the 6th? And it's the lead question is, do you accept the results? And at this point, it's academic. My answer would be, well, apparently, it's academic. I mean, what does it matter what I think of that election? I think Lincoln stole the election, or what? I think Kennedy stole the election. I mean, it's more. There's more of a compelling case that their most beloved president stole that election. But anyway, so Tim Scott on that.
That is not an issue, so I'm not going to make it an issue.
Well, Senator, will you commit to accepting the election results of 2024, bottom line?
Well, at the end of the day, the 47th president of the United States will be President Donald Trump, and I'm excited to give back to low inflation, low unemployment.
Wait, Senator, yes or no? Yes or no? Will you accept the election results of 2024, no matter who wins?
That is my statement.
But is it just yes or no? Will you accept the election results of 2024?
I look forward to President Trump being the 47th president. Kristen, you could ask him multiple times.
Senator, just a yes or no answer.
So the American people, the American people will make the decision.
But I don't hear you committing
for President Trump. That's that clear.
I don't hear you committing to the election results.
Here's the challenge.
Will you commit to accepting the election results?
This is why so many. this is why so many Americans believe that NBC is an extension of the Democrat Party. At the end of the day.
Good. So anyway, I think that stands out for Trump, by the way. And there's no law that says you cannot switch the spin the table around and say, can you guarantee a fair election? You ask Kristen Thomas, whatever her name is, Kristen whatever, Welker, if she's asking you that and she's holding you to yes or no, say yes or no. Do you guarantee from coast to coast, every county, it's going to be a fair election?
Statement.
But is it just yes or no? Will you accept the election results of 2024?
Because I'm curious what you would answer to that. But anyway, so that's what it was yesterday, was the Christie Noem, Doug Burgum. Is it Bergen or Burgum?
Burgum.
He gave me a correct. He gave me a gift card. I should know. But I mean, it's totally fair, and that's why he was on there. And here's, by the way, here's what they think of you when a Hollywood star has two brain cells to rub together, and when they're not reading other people's words, they're on NBC, the branch of the Democratic Party, talking about what they think. They're projecting on you what they think of you and your yokel Second Amendment. And your yokel Bible and your yokel well pump that you don't know how to reset, and your yokel backyard and the whole thing. You're Jeff Daniels.
And gaslighting.
What do we know him from best?
Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber, yeah. This is the non Jim Carrey guy. This is the one that had the constipation.
We've normalized that.
It was certainly deeply timely. So as you sat down, we were talking about the connection that this has to today's politics. Also, because class is such a big part of this story. Mm-hmm. And connected to our last conversation, class is going to be a big part of this election. And Michigan, state you're from, you live in, you know so well, might even be the tipping point state this time around.
He knows it so well as a millionaire. And by the way, he's about to channel his inner Rob Reiner.
Both candidates spending a lot of time there. How do you see all of these issues connection, including class, shaping how voters go to the polls and what's going to be a very tight race?
Well, class, yes, but what stretches over class, I think, is decency and honesty and values and principles. I mean, we live in the Midwest. We don't necessarily take New York and L.A. as seriously as New York and L.A. takes itself. You know, I hate to tell you, but we're flyover country, and we got a chip on our shoulder about that. And we're not as stupid as people like Trump in particular think we are. He talks down to us. He talks past us. He lies to us. And we get it. And it's really not the people on the right. They're gonna stay there. You know, okay, terrific. Class or no class, they're gonna stay there. The left's gonna stay on the left. It's that 20%, 15% in the middle, the Reagan Democrats, the moderate Republicans who are going, I'm over Trump, maybe Nikki Haley. I'm over, okay, dissent, okay, get me somebody. But basically, I think even the middle of the country, even Michigan, is watching the Republican Party destroy itself.
Yeah.
But there are two wars going on, I see. I see the war within the Republican Party, which we're all standing back going, you know, knock yourselves out. And then there's the war for democracy, which is going on right now, and it's taking on.
They make it sound like if you vote for Trump, gravity is going to be reversed or something, but that is dyed in the wool Hollywood elite who gets time on MSNBC because he's been in movies, and there was a movie where he sat on the toilet, and then I forgot, what happens then?
I think that was the movie called Blowout.
So anyway, Jeff Daniels, most famous for being dumber, or was he dumb? Was he on the left of the poster? I guess, who cares? The checking the texting involves actually reading the text, so I suppose we should do that. Have you done your due diligence?
From the 206, Brian, can we name the zebra? I vote for Stripey McStripeface. What do you think?
That would go right back to Bodie McBothface. I'd go with Stripey McStripeface or McStripe Bud or whatever.
And once again, the breaking news, the zebra has been caught alive, found alive and well in North Bend, just biding its time for about a week. A nice little staycation.
360 said, he gave me a gift card, coffee spewed. Love and appreciate you both. Well, that's because that was his thing. If you donated money, you got a gift card. So it was a ROI.
From the 206B, I agree with you almost every time. However, the VP candidate was a very important decision as recently as Reagan and Bush won. Respect for you.
That was...
CIA man?
I think VP. A lot of it was because a lot of people didn't take Reagan seriously. My mom and dad did not. I mean, that was a big rift between us.
He's like, a cowboy. Hollywood
you're really
going
to vote a second time for this zoo piece, for this disaster in the White House? And they voted to reelect Jimmy Carter.
Text from the 360 about those police vehicles that burned up in Portland. 15 police cars scorched in suspected arson. Suspected arson is the equivalent of unclear where the cheesecake came
from. Totally.
From.
No, these cars just spontaneously went up at the identical times.
You see someone actually walking away with a cheesecake
where?
There after the Cheesecake Factory was looted. Unclear where they may have gotten that.
Exactly. So anyway, there you go. Yeah, and we'll take a break here. And when we come back, just put some expert on. Someone with a, quote, Palestinian background. And so...
how concerned are you that that is what may happen to some of these young people who you say are just inundated with images of what's happening?
It's not just the people who are on the extreme.
So you're listening to who else? Queen Rania Abdullah of Jordan, who was selected for her beauty. By King Abdullah, because his dad, King Hussein, said the Queen of Jordan must always be beautiful. That's why he married an American flight attendant. And that's why his son built a plastic surgery clinic in Jordan so that he could plug a wife in there and have her come out a little tighter and brighter and the whole thing. I wonder what she thinks about Islamophobia. Well... there you go. Thanks, CBS, for that brilliant piece of journalism on that one. Back in a second with some final words, some updates on some local news and stuff and junk, and a check on traffic and weather when we come back. AM 770 KTTH.
The concerns are based on what we should all be concerned about.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. And our new Monday feature is Get the News Completely Wrong and Mash Up Two Stories. Kevin Bacon returned to Payson High School in Utah dressed as a panda. Decades after he filmed the 1984 classic, because all they did was like write them letters and they got your Kevin Baconing on that. But meanwhile, two panda dogs have been delighting and perplexing visitors of a zoo in China. Since a dedicated enclosure opened to the public on May 1 last week. And nothing in the story involves Kevin Bacon whatsoever, but pictures of Chow Chow dogs that have been painted to look like pandas are always funny. And if you held this, but people were noticing that they were shaking their heads like dogs do. And brush away flies or, you know, whatever. Anyway, video of the animals posted online confused netizens, some of whom mistook them for real pandas, with others asking whether a panda dog was a real breed. It is not. It's paint on a white dog is what it is. And so Wall Street Journal and Politico today with stories about some of the elites that are funding the campus unrest are some of the most liberal people you can get because they feel that Joe Biden is Genocide Joe, that somehow he's involved in something that is in no way, shape, or form the definition of genocide. But it's being called that by lazy 22-year-olds who can't be bothered to learn the difference. George Soros is one, and a Rockefeller, and they're all super liberal, the super liberal wealthy people. And when people say, well, that'd be ironic because Soros is a Holocaust survivor. Well, to be more accurate, he's a Holocaust avoider. His dad was rich enough to buy fake documents. He was raised Jewish. When the Nazis occupied Hungary, he literally was part of the machinery to hand out the notice of deportation. He didn't throw them in the Danube or something, or smoke them, or wipe with them, or anything. He handed them out. You got a notice of deportation? Little Georgie was there at the door with the notice. And then it didn't go well for Hungary there at the end. At the end, all the bribing and the whole thing was for naught. Right around now, in 1945, the Nazis who had been occupying Hungary and had allowed the Jews of Hungary to be unmolested, undeported, except for classes where, like, they deported the Jewish lawyers and then the Jewish teachers and all that. But by and large, the Jews of Hungary were left alone until late 44 and 45, when Hitler said, I know I've got bigger fish to fry, but let's put a dent in these Jews and these European Jews. And so he avoided that too. So in my world, survivor is that you went to a camp and you were tattooed, and then the Red Army or Patton or someone rolled in on you. And wait, for the 90th time, Greg, you have seen Band of Brothers?
Twice now, yeah.
That first episode that begins with, that sets up all the flashbacks. The first episode with David Schwimmer is set the night before D-Day. Remember, it opens up at night, and they're watching a newsreel, and they start talking about Chicago and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really a great episode. And I would tell you, as we roll into the 80th anniversary of that thing, that whole D-Day thing.
And what's great about that show is it shows you another aspect of D-Day, which is not exactly the landing on the shores in the Armada, but the people parachuting in the 101st Airborne and others, which is really fascinating. It's, up to that point, it was kind of one of the more undertold stories of that time, at least on film. And so one of the reasons I like the series so much.
Such as the Iraq.
Exactly.
And,
like that.
Yeah, and I got to say that of the Ambrose books, Band of Brothers is so well done. It set a new standard for stuff and junk. And I own it. Whatever it is. Is it on Prime? Yeah, I own it on Prime. So I highly recommend it. So your Hamas booty in a pup tent, according to Senator Fetterman. And I'm seeing that CHP, the California Highway Patrol, have been stateized by His Honor Gavin Newsom, and they're clearing up a student demonstration at UC San Diego. And this is ultimately, they're using the tool of the Board of Trustees saying, yay, verily, this is private property, this is a unauthorized assembly, so therefore you are not welcome. You must break, and now you're being given lawful orders. You have to disperse. You have to clear this territory, this square or whatever. And so they're starting the chants. I don't see no riot gear. I don't see no riot here. Why are you in riot gear? That winter. And all this is happening. And then also, I just saw hands off Rafah. Well, I got news for Rafah. The Israelis overnight, our time, the Israelis festooned the people of Rafah with text messages, social media messages, and then actual paper messages saying basically, you might want to pack some things and exit to the north. There is food and water there. There's not going to be food and water here. And very soon there's going to be lead in the air. And it's because whatever they think influence that Lloyd Austin has with Netanyahu or with the IDF, forget about it. They are about to win this war, and they will wind up with the head of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar, who has decided to remain in Gaza because he would have no credibility if he skived off, and so he is there, and they know he's there because there's a detail of personal bodyguards. So the Israelis ultimately want this. This is the opportunity to get bin Laden in handcuffs back in Manhattan. And that was actually what was being done by November of 2001, with Delta Force physically on the ground in the Korangal Valley, and Americans pouring into Afghanistan. The possibility of capturing him alive was very, very close. It was very, very near. And that would have involved flex cuffs for bin Laden, a helicopter out to an American ship, and then a booking photo, and he would have been handed over to the FBI and the whole thing. And would that have been the perfect ending to the war on terror? No. But it's whether the Israelis have a possibility here to do this, and they're cordoning off Rafah. And it's funny because the Marine Corps and the U.S. Army both had IDF experts on the ground in Iraq prior to what was called Phantom Fury 2 in November of 04 to advise what was going to be a house-to-house city fight that was going to be very similar to West Bank or Gaza. And it's the Israelis turning to the Marine Corps right now about what they're about to do, about cordoning off the town, biometricing everyone's cornea on the way out, rolling up wanted people. And how do you do that? And the Marine Corps, one of the weird things that the Marine Corps isolated for the Israelis was the fact that the majority of UAVs, of piloted Israeli reconnaissance UAVs, if they've been lost by enemy fire, chances are it was Israeli forces that did it. Because the Israelis have very effectively done a pretty good counter UAV campaign, because they've been watching this video coming out of Ukraine, where the Ukrainians can put together these highlight videos of dropping grenades on Russians. And the Ukrainians have discovered that masses of guys shooting automatic weapons at a UAV on its way in is the best way to down it. The magic BB is the best. Your aim fire is not going to hit it. It's too small and too moving of a target. But the Israelis are just shooting down their own UAVs. And now with that knowledge, because it's – well, they have discovered what the Marine Corps are observing is that tool – in modern urban combat is irreplaceable. It's invaluable. And where we were just starting to use them in 2004, early on, we were able to see, this is amazing. The bad guys are in front of us. We're flying a UAV behind them, and we can see them lined up behind walls. We know where they are. We can count them, the whole thing. So it was obvious by 2004 with the AeroVironment Raven from Monrovia, California. When we first got them, basically it was here, figure out how to fly it. And instantly, we could see with a 10-power HD daylight camera and a 5-power IR camera for night, get the Raven up was like the first order. Get that thing up and get it behind and see how many, you know, gentlemen we're dealing with today. Well, speaking of gentlemen, here's Queen Rania of Jordan, because why not talk to the betrothed, the beloved Queen of Jordan, and all about Islamophobia and how Israel can save itself from itself or something. For the goodly order, did we read enough texts?
I've got a few more curated that I deleted, so no, I don't.
That Get Out music tells me no.
From the war in Gaza. And that was also a gesture to terror recruitment. Mm. How concerned are you that that is what may happen to some of these young people who you say are just inundated with images of what's happening?
It's not just the people who are on the extreme that are being enraged by this. It's people who are in the middle as well, people who are westernized, people who studied here, people who are suddenly just looking at the world and saying, you know, they're so disillusioned. They're saying, you know, clearly there are different standards that humanitarian law is applied selectively and that our lives don't matter.
What the hell are you talking about? There's two rule books in the world, the American-Israeli one and then everybody else, including Hamas. So you can wear a GoPro camera on your body as you decapitate an infant and then hurry your way out to the gang rape. That's fine. So, I mean, does she denounce that? Well, in a pro forma sort of, oh, don't get me wrong, baby decapitation is bad. The line form's here to denounce it. But then she goes on to say, but be cautious. Be very careful about Islamophobic backlash and all that. But anyway, move on. Move on, and your experts from Gulf State royalty. And not even born royalty. She was married into it. But anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Tuesday, and we'll be back here at 6 a.m. It's going to be nice or something. It rained this morning, but who cares about the weather? We'll track stuff and junk, and you'll hear it here starting at 6 a.m. bright and early. Brian Suits here with producer Greg. Thank you very much for being here. Be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. 770 KTTH.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Goodbye.